Believe that, because there's a shift happening in the spiritual realm. If you can't feel that, your spirit sensor need to be sharpened. There's a shift happening right now. There's something going on very exciting and very dramatic in the spirit realm. And this is why we're seeing what we're seeing in our nation, among the local churches, among Christians, among ministries, among the world. We're seeing something happen. And 2 Peter talks about this, of what's to come, talking about the day of judgment, talking about the coming of the Lord, talking about when the kingdom is fully manifested. And that is coming. Understand, that is on the way. Every day we live, we are closer to fulfilling the destiny that God has planned for us from the very beginning. And it is on the way. So we're going to get in the Word of God, and we're going to read this in 2 Peter. Good to see Lindra, too, with us, all the way from Fort Jackson, South Carolina. So glad to have her with us, and she brought some guy with her. Oh, Bruce, how you doing, bro? Haven't seen Bruce in a while, so good to have Bruce with us, too, this morning. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, Peter's beginning to give them a message about the Lord is coming. But I want to stop here and talk about this. We need to understand everything spoken in this word is going to come to pass. We don't have to see it right now. We may not live to see it all fulfilled. But it doesn't change the fact the Word of God is truth. It will come to pass. Everything God said has come to pass. Remember, Isaiah prophesied 600 years before Christ that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, shall save the people from their sins. This was an exact prophecy that did come fulfilled. Everything in this world is going to happen. Now, the world can go on like nothing's going on. We are so caught up in a world of entertainment and ungodliness and self-pleasingness to ourselves that we are forsaking the remembrance of God's Word, that what He says will come to pass. We can act like it's not, but it don't change it. We can say, Lord, You're never coming back. That's only a myth that preachers preach to keep us in fear and bondage. But the Word of God is clear that there's a day coming. The Bible is clear that the trumpet is going to sound, and those that are dead shall be raised up and caught up to meet the Lord. The Bible is clear on this. Very clear. Throughout Scripture, Jesus talks about the kingdom being established. This is not our kingdom. This is not where we belong. It's not where we're made to belong. In the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were formed in the image of God, they were in the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? They were in God's kingdom, but they disobeyed and got cast out of that kingdom. And we've been outside ever since until the blood was shed. And when the blood of Jesus was shed, we went from the outside of God's grace back into the inside of God's grace. We went from outside in darkness back into His marvelous light. We were a lost people with no name and no identity. But when Jesus came, all of a sudden our name was birthed again, and the flaming sword that kept us out from the promises of our inheritance was torn down forever. It no longer stands in the way. Nothing separates me from Christ anymore because of what He did. Now that's a promise, and y'all can say amen because it's Sunday morning. I give you permission to say amen. Good. I don't understand why the Sunday morning crowd is so different than Sunday night and Wednesday night crowd. It amazes me how different it is. I don't understand that. This is crazy. If you've been on a Wednesday night, you think you're a different church on a Wednesday night. It's just so different. Anywho, Melly hates when I say that. I do it to drive her crazy. Look at verse 4. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. We don't like that word lust. You know why? Because it reminds us how much we lust. Preacher, I don't lust over nothing. I'm stone cold religious. I'm beyond the lusting stage. No, you're not. Every one of us fight the spirit of lust of something. It may be something different. You may lust after a woman or a man or a candy bar or a TV or a car or a home. Whatever. You may be lusting. You're standing at food line. There's Kit Kats to buy one, get one free. And you're just sitting there lusting. You got the angel on one side saying, no, no, too late at night. And the other one saying, to the eats with it, eat it. Right? Lust. us fight it. All of us have it. And we're in a day where man is fulfilling their cravings. Here's what we're seeing. We will do whatever we want to do in our flesh. And there's nothing that will stop us. People will camp out in front of a store overnight to get the first selection of the new Apple iPhone. They'll set up a tent, have a thermos of coffee, 22 degrees and snowing, toboggans and gloves. But by George, they're going to wait and get that Apple. They're going to wait and get it. It's amazing what mankind will do to fulfill their cravings. We will wait in line at a restaurant because it's the best one we want. How long is a wait? 45 minutes to an hour? Okay. Isn't that crazy? We're at a red light. It changes green. Burr! Really? You can't wait 2 seconds? But you can wait 45 minutes for a meal? It's just amazing how our flesh, we fulfill it with what we want, whether it's entertainment, whether it's sports, whether it's movies, whether it's concerts, whatever it is. And so we're a society that wants that appeasement now. And Peter warns us that people will be longing to themselves to fulfill their own needs. See, we must realize that our earthly needs is not what we need. It's our spiritual need that we need fed. Because our spirit man, as it is strengthened, we become all God wants us to become. Feeling the inward man is what counts because that's what goes with us. All the things are going to pass away. All the entertainers, all the lust of flesh, all the things we see are going to pass away. But the one thing that won't is Jesus. And the title of my message today is "The Choice is Yours." A line has been drawn by the cross. And people have this chip on their shoulder that God's not a God. And I hear this all the time, and it just drives me crazy, but I've got to put on my pastor hat when that happens and smile with my teeth and show love like this. But Jesus loves you. I'm so aggravated because here's what they say. I'm not going to serve a God that just going to let people go to hell. Y'all heard that as Christians. You bound to have heard that. If God's such a good God, I can't believe he would let somebody go to hell and live there forever in torment. That's not a very nice God. Well, Jesus drew the line of sand at Calvary. Says, you choose. I've done all I can do. I gave my life for you. I've called you by my name. I've convicted you with my spirit. All you have to do is come. It's like Carol invites me out to dinner. Invites us to dinner. And she keeps inviting. She prepared the meal. Biscuits, roast, potatoes, chocolate cream pie. And she invited us, sweet tea. And she calls me, Pastor, you mailing coming over? No, but you're welcome. I know, but no. She calls the next week. Look, I got it ready. Everything's done. All you got to do is just drive here and park it. I'll serve you. I'll do the cleanup. Heck, I'll feed you if you want me to. Just come. This is what Jesus does. He calls us. He says, here I am. Don't you know you need me? There's an emptiness inside of you that only I can feel. That's why you're miserable and empty, because I'm supposed to feel that. And we keep saying, no, Lord, not now. No, but I prepared it. No, Lord. I prepared a banquet. No, God. I prepared a way. No, Lord. And then when our time comes to leave the earth, if we have still refused the love of Jesus, that is not God's fault. God has called us, and God has knocked on our heart through the years, and we keep saying no. We just keep saying no. The choice is yours. The day of judgment for the ungodly is coming. Now, we love talking about us going to be with Jesus. We love talking about grace can't separate us. But we must understand there's another side of the coin. There's a people that are lost, that if you do not accept Jesus, we'll be lost forever. And while we're walking around this world thinking we've got all these years to fix that, not worried about it, man. I'm just worried about putting gas in my car. I'm worried about paying the bills tomorrow. I'm worried about getting groceries in my house. I'm worried about, you know, if I'm going to have a job next week. All of this is temporary. It all expires. It all runs out. But the one thing that is steadfast is the salvation of our Lord. And that's what counts. There's a spiritual shift happening. And it's something dramatic is going to change in the earthly and in the spiritual realm. Something's on the way. We better be prepared to walk into what God has prepared for us. We look at the world and we see it's on a keg right now, about to explode. We see laws being passed. Someone informed me last Sunday that in Canada, they have a law on the books now, just in our northern neighbor Canada, a pretty friendly country. They have ordered on the books, it's actually enforced now, they've actually enforced this law that ministers cannot preach against homosexuality. They will be charged with a charge of a hate crime speech. That's a law that they are enforcing right now in Canada. See, the enemy is trying to silence. And here's the deal. We need to be preaching to everybody the love and deliverance of Jesus Christ. We need to be preaching that message, and the devil is trying to silence it through laws, but they cannot silence the message that created the heavens and the earth, because the message cannot be muffled. It will go forward, it will go forth, and the dead shall hear the cry of God and shall come out of their tombs. The dead is going to live by the word of God, and you can't silence the resurrection and the life. It's already happened. He's already out of the tomb. We can't put him back in. He's already out. I mean, my God, he's alive inside of me. He's alive up on the earth. He's moving and having his being. The earth is his. How dare mankind think they can tell God what they're going to do and not going to do whenever he created the heavens and the earth. Every breath I breathe is air God gave me. You don't believe that? Go get your own air. I challenge you, find your own air right now. See if you can do it. Nope, none there. Oh, where are you going to find it? God gave it to you. Thank God. How can we think we can silence the message of God? The message of Jesus Christ. The name that still makes everybody so nervous. Even in churches, man. We got churches scared to say the name of Jesus. We'll say Christ, which is a title, the anointed one. You know, we'll say Lord, which can be anything, Lord of the Flies. It's a great movie, right? Lord of the Rings. We can say a lot of things. God. Well, Allah is God of the Muslims. But something about Jesus just makes people a little squeamish. They don't like it. And you know why? Because y'all get mad at me here. I'm going to get behind the podium. Because every demon that sets itself up, even in us, you think we're demon free? How many times you cuss somebody out that make you mad? What's that? How many times you talk about somebody? What's that? How many times you hide stuff and nobody knows about it? What's that? How many times you hate somebody because they're black, Hispanic, Asian? You just hate them because of their skin color. What's that? All of us have little demons that try to rise up in us. And so when we start saying the name of Jesus, what happens? Every demon remembers what happened to them 2,000 years ago. It's that name that broke the back of my control forever. The name of Jesus broke the back of sin and darkness and judgment. I lost a people because of that name. I lost a seed because of that name. My God, Lucifer himself got cast out of heaven because of that name. See, the name of Jesus makes every demon flee because it's the only name that invokes any power, any authority. It's the only name. That's why it's important that we pray in that name every time we pray in the name of Jesus. If you're at night afraid, laying in bed, begin to call up on the name of Jesus and watch what will happen. Things change. I'm telling you, because Jesus runs that fear out. No other name will do that. I can pray all I want. In the name of Melanie, demon, leave me alone. That ain't going. She'll just shut up, try to sleep. That's all she'll say. But when I say Jesus, something happens. Now let's see what Peter's talking about, because the choice is yours. Look at verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, since they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now what is Peter saying here? He's saying this. That the word of God is what formed the world. The word of God is what keeps the earth. The word of God has always come to pass. So why wouldn't this word come to pass? It will. This word of God, that he's going to come back, is going to come to pass. That he's going to establish his kingdom again upon the earth, where we will rule and reign forevermore with Christ in a world that we were meant to be with to begin with. See, Adam and Eve were a type and shadow of the new world, of the new kingdom, because they were in God's kingdom. Perfect health, never die, never grow old, never age, no sin, no labor, no strife, no jealousy. Perfect world. Till sin came in. The difference in the new kingdom is the kingdom of God will be established, but sin will not ever be allowed in, because the devil once and for all will be put away from the temptation of people forevermore. His fate will be sealed. See, right now he's still roaming. You know, people say, Pastor, you believe in ghosts? Of course I believe in ghosts. Not Casper. You know, not the gremlins. Not the ones on Scooby-Doo. But yes, ghosts mean spirits. Ghosts are spirits. Spirits are real, and spirits are alive. And there are evil spirits, and there are good spirits all around us. You ever been around a person or in a place, and you felt an evil, like a clammy coldness come over you? That's an evil spirit. Spirits are real. Demonic forces are real. And good spirits are also real. We live in a spiritual world. We would be scared if we could all of a sudden get glasses like you do in the movies and see really what's around us. Kind of like when you put those bacteria glasses on, you see the spots on the wall of all the bacteria. Ugh, my house is this nasty. That's how it'd be in a spiritual realm. If we could put glasses on, we'd be, oh my gosh, this is happening around me. Spirits are real. The Word of God has kept its promises on everything that's been spoken, and it will on the coming of the Lord. Just as he spoke forth the earth. Now, people say, because down here in this verse talks about the elements will, you know, burn up and all this. And I'm just going to tell you, I mean, people predict this globe as we know it's going to just be destroyed and blow up. But see, I don't believe that. There's going to be a shift in the spiritual realm. See, the kingdom of God is a spiritual transformation. Do you realize this earth has been here? The actual earth, I mean, for millions of years. Now, some religious folks will limit that to saying, oh, Pastor, only 6,000. Now, that's when God first created man in his image. But the earth's been here for millions of years. And nothing's ever destroyed it. It's remained here all these years. You know why? It is the habitat for God's people. Jesus said what? The meek shall inherit the earth. And so don't get scared that a big meteorite is going to come in May of 20. Is it May 2012 the world's going to end, or December of this year? Okay, we got a little more time. December of this year. Don't be scared when this meteorite is going to come and just blow us up. And all of a sudden, that's not what the Bible's talking about here in Peter. It's talking about the existing life and rim as we know it is going to melt away and give way to the new rim, which is the kingdom of God. Think about a butterfly and caterpillar. The butterfly comes out of the same nest the caterpillar was born in. An old nasty caterpillar. Nobody likes, I mean, well, little boys, you know, but, you know, most people don't like caterpillars. You know, we're not like, oh, let me kiss anything. We don't like that. That old caterpillar, as it's in its cocoon, its earthly shell, the transformation takes place in the same shell that is born, that's in. And when it comes out a beautiful butterfly. That's us. church, that is us. We are in the cocoon of the flesh right now, but there's going to be a transformation where our wings spread. I'm not talking about angel wings. I'm talking about spiritual authority and power that we're going to spread out, and we're going to come out a beautiful creation in Christ, and we're going to look different and talk different and walk different and be different, because the cocoon of this earth is going to give way to the kingdom of God. That's the transformation that's waiting on all of us that are His. Get ready for that and prepare for that. And those that aren't Christ will not inherit that. For those that deny Him, deny His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, they will not be a part of that. It's not that God is not just. My Lord, the next verse, the next couple of verses, I am not slack concerning my promise. But He is forbearing. He's long-suffering. He says, I wish that all come to repentance. The word repentance in the Hebrew means reversal. We must do a reversal, which means we go a different direction than where we're going now. There's a song AC/DC sung, I think it was AC/DC back in the 80s, Highway to Hell. It's a highway to hell. Remember that song? Don't act all religious. Some of y'all used to blare that in your radios. Even I blared at her time or two. Sorry, Mom. Highway to hell. There's two choices we have. There's those on the highway to hell, and there's those on the highway to kingdom. And the line is very distinct. If we give our lives to Jesus, and it's more than just knowing Him, it's more than just saying, I believe in Him, it's serving Him. You know how you're God's child? You serve Him. Church, you serve Him. You're not ashamed. You love Him. You do all you can to fulfill what God's put in you as a Christian to walk in. You want to serve Him. You don't go around, you know, Carol, like, hey, Carol, let's go out Friday night, man. Let's go party. You want to, Carol? Well, preacher said, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I can't go. No, I'll be thinking about you, though. I wish I could. Girl, have fun. That's not a very good attitude. What Carol really should be saying is, girl, I don't do that no more. That don't fulfill me. I serve God. See the difference in knowing God and believing in God and serving God. And I am so tired of hearing people that say they believe in God, but they're just living like the devil. You know those people. You're like, you're a Christian? Really? This is what Christians are? Let us not be deceived. When Jesus comes, there is going to be a day of restoration for us and a day of judgment for the ungodly. And the ungodly is not just those based on their deeds and activity. Understand, I don't want to get caught up in that. The ungodly are those that have failed to surrender their life to Jesus. If we have surrendered our life to Jesus, we're okay. We don't have to worry about what is to come. Death has no hold on us. Death has no power on us. We will escape death. We've already escaped death. We've now passed into life. Darkness has no hold. Fear has no hold. I already know who I am in Christ. His hand's in my hand from now forevermore, and He's never letting go. I will not cross Jordan alone. Thank God for that. The reason the Lord is not returned is very clear in that next verse or two, that He's warning all to come to repentance. Just like the days of Noah, when He gave the people 120 years to repent, He's giving us time now to repent. A great shift is taking place. A great change is happening. Something's going to change. And I want us to be prepared spiritually for what God has in store, and not playing games with our soul. Maryland now has passed the law to join 7 other states, the state of Maryland now. We got 8 states now. I've been saying for years it'll be nationwide, probably in our lifetime, if we're here that long. But 8 states now, Maryland being the last one, has now certified same-sex unions with all the benefits, and has now confirmed and passed a law that 2 people can get married legally in the state of Maryland. 8th state in our nation to do this. Beulah, can you imagine the America you grew up in if somebody had told you when you were 30 years old that there'll be states that'll say men can marry men and women can marry women legally? You would have thought that was absolutely crazy, wouldn't you? You hang on a second. This is the state we're in. This is where we're at in America. There's a shift taking place. And then for the law to tell us that we can't preach about something that's in the Bible. Church, you have never once, and by the way, we got our 10-year anniversary coming up in July. We're going to have something very special planned. I've already been working on some things I ain't told nobody, I ain't mailing. Some things I've got in mind for our 10-year celebration coming up. It's going to be exciting. Lost my train of thought. What are we talking about? Marriages, same sex. Oh, in 10 years, you've never heard me ever get up here and badge your homosexuality. As far as like, oh, they're going to hell. They're going to burn in flames of heathen. I've never said that. But I have to say, just like anything else, I talk about other things too, fornication. How many times have you heard me talk about being shacked up together? Yeah, it gets real quiet after talking about that. But I've said that many times. Sexual immorality. But when we have someone saying we can't preach or teach something out of the Word of God, that's a problem. And we're supposed to be separate from government, right? Religion and state. Separate. This is one place the government don't get no money, praise Jesus, right now. They get none of our money because we're a non-profit organization. I think that's what makes them mad. Think of the millions of dollars in churches across this land that they can't touch. And it drives them crazy. Not only, I can just see them in con. Not only can we not get their money, they're preaching on homosexuality and abortion and all this stuff. They're preaching against everything we stand for and we can't get their money. I mean, it must burn them up. But you know what? I don't know what the future holds for the local church. I don't know what it holds for local pastors. But I know we must not fail to preach the Word of God to those that are here. That's our job, is to preach the Word of God and show them the truth that Jesus is coming. As a thief in the night, the Word of God says, as a thief in the night, suddenly he shall come. You know how a thief in the night comes? Unannounced, right? Has anybody ever said, hey, Carolyn, I'm going to rob you at 122, so be waiting on me, darling. So Carolyn's in her rocking chair with her shotgun. Here comes the criminal. Oh, how'd you know I was here? You told me. The day of judgment is going to be a transformation that's unannounced, that just happens. Unexpectedly. No one knows the day, and it will not be December 21st, 2012, because man done said that. Church, please, please, just listen to me. I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I know that. I'm the best looking, but I ain't the smartest. And I want to tell you this. Don't go December 20th and stock up on a bunch of water. I mean, it's great for retail. And flashlights and batteries. Thinking the boogeyman's going to come out and strike down the world. There's a power outage and we'll have no food and no water. Hide your children from the monsters. Throw them in the dungeon. They're going to be so hyped up. You wait and see. You're going to see people hype this up. I guarantee Walmart will have an aisle that says, end of world aisle. All your needs met here. You wait and see. They'll dramatize this up. Just don't get caught up in that. You really think God's going to let it happen? A man picks them? No. He's going to come as a thief in the night. No one's going to know that day. So I can guarantee you this. Any day man picks, that's not the day. Let's put it that way. That's not the day. I don't care who says it. I don't care who says it. I mean, I don't even care if our elite president says it. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. I don't care if my sweet grandma, I don't care if Maverick says it. Listen up, people. End of the world. Don't listen to them. The child is wrong. But here's what's happening. It's putting fear in people. God doesn't deal in fear, does he? He deals in love, not fear. So be not dismayed or distracted by the stuff that's out there. All I know is this, Joe Brown. When that day comes, buddy, me and you, we know we're ready. Well, yes, Joe will be able to run again. Full sprint with no pain and no aches. You know, most of y'all don't know Joe Brown, what he suffers. Sometimes he'll share a few things with me personally, but you wouldn't know it by looking at Joe because he don't complain. But Joe has is in a lot of pain a lot of times. And I know that, Joe, and you never say anything about it. But you just endure that and you have a smile on your face because you love the Lord and you're thankful for your blessings. There's a video clip I'm going to show at some point, not today, but I'm going to show it. It's a blind, autistic 10-year-old boy. He's blind and autistic. And he's singing the song. He's kind of made it big now, going around. He might have seen it on YouTube. But he sings the song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Oh, it's so powerful that this autistic, blind 10-year-old boy is in front of hundreds and hundreds of people singing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." So happy to be serving the Lord. What are we doing with our time we have left before Jesus comes? God gave us precious years to do something with. Every day is precious. Every breath is precious. Every moment of life is precious. Do you know the body automatically fights to survive even when it's trying to die? God's got us built to, if you get shot with a bullet, think about the old Western days, you get shot with a bullet, that your body automatically goes into fight mode. Survive, survive. It don't automatically just say, "Oh, I'll just die." It automatically kicks in to try to fight. The body wants to live. You know why? Because we were made to live. Glory! We were made to live. And we will live again. And our bodies will not ever die again. They'll never grow old again. They'll never be in pain again. Ever. But there's going to be a complete restoration of when that day comes, we will translate back into the very thing Adam was, that Adam man was. Where God's breathed his life into our nostrils and we become a living soul again forever. The day of the Lord is coming. The choice is yours. Do I choose Jesus and live? Or do I choose the devil and die? By not choosing Jesus, you're choosing the devil. I mean, that's all there is to it. There's only two choices to make. I want to choose Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Clear choice. Sin is death, Jesus is life. But I still sin, Pastor. I know that. We're not talking about individual sin. We're talking about the sin nature being removed. There's a big difference. This is where many Christians get confused. They think that because they still sin, people, "You ain't saved, man. You shouldn't have took that drink. Shouldn't have took that cigarette. Shouldn't have said that cuss word. You ain't saved." Sinners don't do stuff like that. I mean, Christians don't do stuff. Look, we're still going to fall and do things we shouldn't do. You know, I don't know what come out of my mouth. Somebody try to hurt my family. I might say something. I'd be very ashamed if I thought my family was being threatened. You let somebody try to pick up my wife, say, "Well, this man come out of his shell." Get your own woman. I done put 20 years in this. I ain't starting over. It took me 20 years to get her this good. Go get your own woman. I would fight. I would hurt somebody over my children and my wife. I always say I'm a lover, not a fighter, but I'm a fighter when it comes to something like that. I would fight. Thank you. Always on cue. Brilliant child. We all have individual sin that we still have to conquer. It doesn't mean we're not saved. You know, my children make mistakes all the time. They don't clean their rooms. They sass back. They roll their eyes. They don't listen. They snap off. They get mad. I mean, they all make mistakes. They're dramatic, especially the girls. So dramatic. Especially Ashley. Good Lord. So dramatic. She will so be in Hollywood. She is so... Oh, Rex. I mean, she's so dramatic. Really? I just said go to your room. And I mean, really? How can you make that dramatic? Go to your room. Anyway, they're still my children, though. And just because they're dramatic and make mistakes and rebel and don't listen and make us mad. They're my children. And I love them. And my seed is in them, whether they like it or not. You can't go against the seed. That's what 1 John tells us, that when we get saved, the seed of God remains in us. The seed. I can't go against who I am. If I'm a Christian, I can't just go against that, because that's not what's in me anymore. The sin man. Now the Christian man's in me. That's what I go with. You can't be anything more than what the seed is. So if you're living a life apart from the Lord, and you're living a life serving yourself, you're living a life of sin, complete sin, you must examine what seed are you carrying. Because maybe there is still the seed of sin that hasn't been removed, and you're just pretending you're okay because you're in church. There's a lot of people can say amen on Sunday morning, but on their way to hell. Understand that. The seed has to be changed. Jesus, take the sin nature out, and you come into my heart and live. It's that simple. The seed has to be removed. But it's not a head decision. We must be drawn by the Spirit of God. Here's the danger. Here's what I see happening right now, and I'm closing out. Here's what I see happening. As people are being drawn, and I see it even here in this church here. I feel it so many times. As God is drawing you, you're resisting that. And the danger is this. You're accountable once you've been drawn. Hear my words clearly. When you've been drawn by the Holy Spirit and you refuse that, you're accountable. That is God opening His arms to you. And if we refuse that, and lead this world refusing that, that is the choice that we made, not what God made. We're accountable. And I think it's why so many people don't want to connect into a local church, because it does bring accountability on their lives. They don't want to hear it. Have a heart to submit to teaching, church. Have your heart submitted. I'm not the boss. He's the boss. I'm just a servant. I sat under a pastor for 20 years and had no problem surrendering to his authority. I wanted to hear the Word of God. I wanted to hear what He had for my life. When we can learn to be accountable for our actions, then we can allow God to begin to do some things in our lives. But if we keep saying, I'm all right, Pastor, I'm all right. I've got it under control. You don't have nothing under control. You don't have it under control. You don't have it together. So that's why you're a mess. That's why the prescription world, the prescription medication world, is billions of dollars, because people don't have it together. I'm not talking about physical problems. I'm talking about just emotional. People don't have it together. So if I can pop this to give me a little bit of peace. But the peace that we need is only found in Jesus. The true peace that we need, the joy that we need, is found in the Lord. Life is hard, church. I know that. Life is hard, but God is good. And God is drawing and God is calling. Bow your head just for a minute, if you would. We won't take long, I promise. But I do want to open the altar up just briefly this morning. For those of you that have heard the Word and you're not sure that if the day of the Lord was today, where would you be? If the day of the Lord was right now, where would you be? You're not sure of that this morning. God has spoken and God has drawn, but you just kept going your own way. I want to ask you, if that's you today, and you want to say, I want to make a decision to give my heart to Jesus. I really want to make a decision to quit playing games. I surrender myself today to you. I just want you to get out from where you're sitting and come stand at the altar very quickly. If that is you, I'm not going to hold this open long. Just, I want to give the opportunity for you now. If you say, Lord, I know I need you. I'm afraid of where I'm at. I'm just not sure of where I stand. And God, I want to know that I'm your child. I want to know I'm where you want me. Because I know things are changing. I know, I feel it in the spirit realm myself. You know you feel that. If something's happening. Something's transforming right now. And you want to know you're okay. That's you, please. As you're praying this morning, those sitting praying for others, just pray that the Spirit will draw, and those that are drawn will obey this morning. This is your chance right now. Don't wait till next week or next month. We'll do it now. As God is speaking now, today's a day of salvation. As God is speaking, if that's you, please come up and say, here I stand, Lord. I don't know where to go from here, but you're the starting point. Sing a little something, Bruce. You're the starting point.